Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship Church. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I don't want to forget our visitors today that's here for the first time. And all I got to tell you is I'm here for the first time too. So welcome very much. You're very much welcome in this house. And I hear we have food later. So how can you resist that? Okay. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Merle McGee. I come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am a fan of some of the Pittsburgh teams. But as Paul says, I've learned to become all things to all people, so I'm also a Detroit Red Wings fan. and will remain so, as long as they're not playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. Both Junior and I feel really called to this place. I know you have expectations of me, but I like the way Karen put it, that we have a lot of expectations with God. It's not a coincidence that we're here. I remember when John James, the district rep for Village Missions, sent us an email and asked us to pray about four or five open churches. And one of the churches was Calumet, Michigan, Grace Christian Fellowship Church. We instantly looked at all the websites that we could find, and nobody had a website except Grace Christian Fellowship Church. So we went to the website and looked at it, and then we went to the Main Street Calumet website, and we did this independent of one another. So I'm looking at Main Street Calumet website, and I get an email at work from my wife, and she says, this is where I think we need to be. And it was the website of the Main Street Calumet. That's not coincidental. We had prayed and prayed and prayed that God would send us to a group that would welcome us. We're normal people that have said, God, we want to go where we're celebrated. And we want to go where we can be used. After spending time with you, all of you, I know this is a place. And I feel very comfortable with that. My first sermon is kind of unique. Of course, you'll see all my sermons are unique. But the first sermon, I thought I'd just lay some ground rules of what God has given to me as far as the role of the church in the community. And as far as my role as a pastor and your role as a congregation. So with that, I want you to look at your neighbor next to you and say, it's time to study God's Word. So if we'd all do that, it's time to study God's Word. All right, let's get excited about this. Our scripture reading comes out of John chapter 21, verse 14 through 17. That's John chapter 21, verses 14 through 17. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for Grace Christian Fellowship Church. I just pray for what you have for us, for this community and beyond. I pray, Lord, that through these words we know or get instructions as far as what's our purpose in this community. We just pray, Lord, that you will use me as a vessel, that you will present your word in a clear and concise way, that I get out of the way and that anything that comes from this pulpit is directly from you. Use me as a vessel, and Lord, just help us to learn more about you, that when we leave, we take a little more piece of a puzzle than when we first came in these doors. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Do you love me? Wow. I remember 41 years ago. 41 years ago was September. I met this blonde bombshell. Blue eyes, blonde hair. I instantly started liking this woman. Matter of fact, I really, really, really liked her. She was on my mind most of the time. And I'm sure some of you guys remember that with your first love. Everything was going swimmingly until she looked at me one evening and said those four powerful words that strikes the fear into all bachelors, and that is, do you love me? I really, really, really liked her. Those four words to me, as I scratched my head, all I could see was vision of commitment, devotion to one person, responsibility. And you guys remember this, you know, you kind of sweat blood and you have palms. And you really have to ask yourself, do you really, really, really love this person? Because maybe it's a lifetime commitment. I can imagine Peter going through the same thing as Jesus asked him, do you love me? Let me paint the scene for you, because I just love the story of Peter and Jesus. It's such a contrast in individuals and personalities. Because Peter had to be a type A personality. He was out there. He was always out there. He was always proclaiming. He was always yelling and screaming for Christ. That is, until he denied him three times. But the story is set on the Lake of Galilee. And on the Lake of Galilee, seven of the disciples were fishing. And as they were fishing, they see somebody on the shore. And this person on the shore tells them where to place the nets. And when they placed the nets where this individual told them to place the nets, they started bringing in fish. So many fish that the nets couldn't fill. Now, I don't know whether they were black bass or walleye or what they might have been, brook trout. But in any event, John turns to Peter and says, that is our Lord and Savior. Peter, type A, what does he do? Does he wait in the boat? Does he? No. Puts on his loincloth. He's out there. He's diving out there. He's swimming the shore to meet Jesus. This was after Jesus had died and risen. This was his third appearance to the disciples. Think about that. Think about that. And this is where, on that shore, that Peter got his charge for ministry. Let's review some of the scriptures. Starting with verse 15. Jesus had fed the disciples with fish. And in verse 15, we read, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now, we're not quite sure what they mean, what he meant by these, whether it was these fishes or these disciples or those people in general. And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." Kind of interesting, because when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" that word love was different than what Peter responded with. The love that Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" is agapeo love. In the Greek, the word is for that love is agapeo. And it is love which is with reasoning. You've reasoned this love out. It's intentional. It's not just a, you know, funny, I love you, but it's a very intentional love and has a spiritual devotion as one loves a father. That's the love that Christ asked. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me with reasoning? Is it intentional? Is it with strong spiritual devotion as a son or daughter to a father? Peter says, "Yes, of course I love you." But that love was a little bit different. That was filial love. And the Greek filial love is love that is a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a friend. As a friend. So it was a friend. He didn't see Jesus as a father. He walked with Jesus all this time as a friend. But Jesus said, "No, do you love me as a father?" And Peter responded, "You know, I do love you. I love you with a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a brother, as a brother." In any event, he says, "If you love me, I want you to feed my lambs." The second time that Jesus asked him about love is later on in verse 16. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" You notice it wasn't Peter. It's Simon, son of Jonah. He wanted to point out to him that he's really talking to him and his heritage and his generation. You know, remember when you were kids and when your mother wanted your attention, instead of "Merle, come here," it was "Merle, William McGee, come here." This was the same thing. This was the exact same thing. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said that the second time. "Do you love me?" And it's the same agapeo love. "Do you love me with reasoning? Is it intentional? And does it have a spiritual devotion as one loves a father?" And Peter responds back the same way. You know I love you. I love you because it's a love with just a deep, instinctive personal affection as a friend. You're my buddy. You're my friend. Of course I love you. And he said, "If you do love me, then please tend my sheep." Third time, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" I don't know whether Jesus just gave up or he knew that Peter just would not understand this type of love yet. That Jesus wasn't up there yet beside God as your father, as his father. Because the third time when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" it's filial love. It's like, okay, you'll understand this. Do you love me with a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a friend? And Peter says, "Yes, I love you with a deep, instinctive, personal affection as a friend." And then at that point, he said, "Feed my sheep." But you know one thing that's interesting in that verse? 17 is that when Jesus asked Peter the third time, "Do you love me?" You see the words, Peter was grieved. And why do you think he was grieved? How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? How many times? Three. Does that have any significance to you? What's the significance?
The denial was three times.
And that hit Peter. So, oh my goodness, he's asking me this three times because I failed him three times. I failed him this time. But he knows, he knew that this was a risen Christ. He knew that he was in the grave and he arose. He knew that there was something different. And I believe in my heart that's when he really understood the true meaning of agapeo love. Agapeo love. But what we read here again are three calls. Three calls to ministry. Three calls to ministry that I think we all have. The first call is feed my lambs. Now what do you think that means, feed my lambs? Sheep are older and lambs are little. Okay. I think it's a charge to all of us as a church. If we really love him, if we really, really, really love him, one of the charges he gives us is to feed his children. Not just physically, but feed them with the Word of God. We're talking Sunday schools. We're talking about Awana programs. We're talking about Vacation Bible School. We're talking about responding to that love that he gives us. Number two, he said, what? Feed my lambs. And he said, tend my sheep. Now, ten, if you look at ten other definitions for ten, it also means take care of. So the second charge we have as a church is to take care of the sheep. Take care of them physically, and to take care of them as you would take care of anybody in your family. Take care of anybody in your family. Of course, the last charge we have as a church, the last charge that Jesus gave Peter was feed my sheep. As a church, it's necessary to feed people spiritually with the Word of God. Everything that comes from us is not our ideas. It's not our opinions. It's the power of the living Word of God. That's our charge. That's our charge. So we ask ourselves here in this community, what will be our charge if we really, really, really love him? I believe the calling for Grace Christian Fellowship Church is to nurture, feed, and tend this community. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a wonderful community. I wish I would have known it 20 years ago, because I think I would have been here 20 years ago. It is not hard to meet people in this community. I almost feel like we've been here for years so far. Although I do know that come winter time, everybody goes south for the winter. But I believe that we need to ask ourselves the same question, and that is, do we love Jesus? Do we love him with reason? Do we reason out this love, knowing that he is God and supplies all of our needs? Do we love him with an intentional love? Is it intentional? Or we just say, oh, hi, honey, we love you. But it's intentional. Say, God, I love you. And do we love with a deep spiritual devotion? It's a constant love. It's a love that we think about on a daily basis, like our first love. Is it that type of love? Like I said before, in my first story with meeting the girl of my dreams, love comes with responsibility. Love comes with a commitment. And love comes with a devotion to one God. The job of loving is not very easy sometimes. You all know that. You all know that. The job of loving is not easy. But you know, Scripture tells us in 1 John, it's not that we loved. It's just that God loved us first and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, to take that sin away from us, to appease God. So we love back because of the immense love He gives us. So therefore, our job as a church has to be to feed the little ones. It has to be to take care of the sheep. It has to be to feed the sheep with the Word of God. So if we really, really, really love Jesus, you know, it's time to do some eating. It's time to do some shepherding. And by the way, I did marry that young lady, and she's here with us today, and we've been married 38 years. So just so you know that. So what's my primary job? My primary job can be seen in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And that is Paul writing to Ephesians, and he said this: and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body. So what's my job? My job is to equip. That's my job. My job is to equip. But what does the word equipping mean? The original Greek word for equip is kartotismo, from which we get our English word artisan or artist or craftsman. The word first appeared in the calling of the disciples. Get this. They were mending their nets, making them strong, preparing them for service, or getting them ready for action. Getting them ready for action. That's my job. My job is to mend this church as fishermen. My job is to keep us healthy. My job is to repair. My job is to keep that net solid so that we go out and change lives in this community. But who do I equip? Who does it say I equip? For equipping the saints. And who are the saints? We are. Doesn't that humble you that we are the saints? That His death, it is scary. Especially for some of us, more scary for some of us than others. But my job is to equip you, saints, because you are saints. Not that you made yourself saints. It's that Christ died for you so that you could become saints. That He died on the cross to give that robe of righteousness. To say to you, you're okay. To take care of you. To protect you. And He calls us saints. Does it get any better than that? Paul, this is the first place Paul mentioned saints. He also mentioned in Colossians. Talked about the congregation. So you're going to hear that a lot from me, dear saints. Because we need to wear that. Not in a proud way, but in a challenging way. In a humble way, to know that we have purpose. And that we're held in great esteem by our Lord Jesus Christ. So my job again is to mend the nets or equip and perfect you for service by using the Word of God. I have nothing else to use but the Word of God. to restore you to your original purpose, which is to feed the sheep and shepherd, and to spiritually feed you, to encourage you, to help prepare you to, again, feed the sheep. As I said before, the business of a pastor teacher carries an awesome responsibility when I hear that I'm answering anybody's prayer. It makes me humble. But I want to be that answer to your prayer. I want God to make me the answer to that prayer. But it's not an easy endeavor. Ray Steadman says that the business of preaching is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So that's my primary job. And what's your primary job? What's your primary job? The verse says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. If you notice, that's not the function or main function of a pastor teacher. Although a pastor teacher would do that, but that's not the main function. It's a main function of the saints, of the lay people, to do the ministry of the church. And why would I say that? I say that because my gifts are limited. Matter of fact, I can't think of many of my gifts. So they're really, really limited. But yours aren't. I'm one person. You're many. We have the gift of music, the gift of teaching. We have the gift of preaching in Jim and Mike. We have the gift of hospitality. I know that. Thank you, Marion. You know, we have those gifts of even reaching out in the gifts of counseling. We have all those gifts of the heart. And by your fruits you will know them. By your fruits you will know them. That's your job. Your job is to do the work of service or ministry. Ray Steadman puts it this way. The church is a ordinary, plain vanilla Christians. We call the laity or lay people or you. And their purpose is, really the purpose is, to reach out to the community to change lives. That's number one. Number two is, for equipment of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Building up here means the word, Greek word is okodema, and it's the act of building, edifying, encouraging, comforting, strengthening. You are the cheerleaders. You're the ones that do the everyday phone call and say, you know, Charlie, hang in there. Things are going to be okay. You know, Mark, things are okay. We're going to pray with you. We're going to get you through this. Mary did a great job the other day. We love you. You know, just keep it up for Jesus. I mean, that's your job. That's your job. I remember when I coached my son in baseball. Coaching is a wonderful job if it wasn't for parents. But as coach, my job was to teach fundamentals. My job was to organize practices. My job was to be with the kids every day, encouraging them and teaching them the details of playing the game of baseball. Their job was to go out in the field. That was not my job. Their job was to go out in the field. Preaching is not much different. You know, I can't bat for you. I can't run bases for you. I can't catch for you. But I certainly can cheer for you. I certainly can teach you. I can certainly build you up. I can certainly help equip you to do all those things. My job is basically as a coach and your job is to play the game. And why would I say that? Because you're everywhere. You can touch lives everywhere. Wouldn't it be silly if you thought the pastor had to do everything and you're at work and you're bringing somebody close to Christ, even a GNC? You say, wait a second, I got to call Pastor Merle so they can talk to you. I can't play that game. I'm here to equip you. I'm here to encourage you. Say, attaboy when you hit a home run. So goes the sermon. So goes our responsibilities. So goes this community. Feed the lambs, tend my sheep, feed the sheep, equip the saints, do the work of ministry, encourage one another, edify one another. That's my job. Ginger asked me before I came up here, what's your vision for the church? As someone's going to want to know. And I've always had a vision for a church. But now I know all the more that this is a vision that I have, personally have. It's not the church's vision, it's my personal vision for Grace Fellowship Church. I would like Grace Fellowship Church to be the center of all activity in this community. I want people to know us not because of who we are as individuals, but who we are as people of God. I want this place and its people to be a sanctuary, a safe haven for all those out there that have been beaten up by the world. Because there are a lot out there. Right here in Calumet, Laurium, in the surrounding area. I want ministries not to be canned and not to be a program. I want ministries that will be developed to meet the needs of the people that we're among. To meet the needs of the community. I want people to know that when they come in here and they leave, that they've been with God more than anything. So that's my vision. And I got four promises to you. Four promises. Number one, I will love you. I will love you when even you think you're unlovable. I will love you. Number two, I will always preach the word of God. There's nothing resonant in my mind as a human being that I can possibly give you that's more powerful than the word of God. I will try my best that I will not give you an opinion from Pastor Merle. I will give you scripture and the word of God. I will work hard. I will work hard. I will do what you want me to do. You got to remember, as a village missionary, I serve you. I serve you. That's my job. Servant leadership, I serve you. The last promise, and this is the toughest one to say, I will disappoint you. But never on purpose. I will overlook things. I will offend somebody sometime. I just ask for forgiveness ahead of time. But it's a promise I have to say to you. Because I am not perfect. But I serve a perfect one. I'm nobody's savior. It's not my job to be any of your savior. But it is my job to get you to shake hands with the Savior. So with that, I'm looking forward to a great relationship. I love you people already, and I haven't even started. Some of you help clean up her kitchen. What's there not to love? Especially on my wife's behalf. But we have a great adventure. And you visitors today, I'm glad you can eavesdrop and pray for us. and think about the excitement that's going to happen right here through Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we read your word and we get excited about the church that you've given us. Yes, Lord, we do really, really love you. Help us to make that commitment and take on that responsibility and have that devotion to you, Lord, that's necessary to change a world. Help us today, Lord, think over these things so that we have a line of demarcation. We know what our roles are, and we start putting things in place to meet the needs of this community as well as to meet your will, whatever your will is here. Lord, help me to grow people, not grow churches. Help us not to be religious, but relational. Help us all to get really excited about where you're taking us. Dear Lord, I know that we have some new people here today, and I just praise you for them. But I'm sure God asks all of us, do you love me? If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you never said, Jesus, there's something about you that's special. If you've never said, Jesus, I want you as my personal Savior, it's not that very difficult. God makes it easy. All we need to do is to determine that we want to make that commitment and turn away from our past and run towards you. And just accept you as our personal Savior. I ask for anybody here that doesn't have an intimate personal relationship with Christ, is not saved, that they consider it today. As Jesus will always pursue them. As Jesus will always say, do you love me? Because if you do, there's some work we need to do and there's some growing up we need to do. Just let me hug you and take you into a new life. So with that, Lord, we just praise you for the day. We just praise you for the fellowship we're going to have later. We lift all these things up in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.